The next case is 97-1924, the application of Betty Roberts Stage. This is Sabella.
Okay, please report. My name is Mary L. Sabella, and I represent the applicant Betty Roberts Stage in this matter. I would like to reserve 2 minutes of my argument time for rebuttal. The affidavit of other evidence, as well as hearing transcript in this matter, does prove by clear and convincing evidence that Betty Roberts Stage was not engaged in the unauthorized practice of law, and that, in fact, she does possess the requisite character and fitness to be admitted to practice of law in the state of Ohio. The issue focused upon by the Board of Commissioners was the use of a title general counsel without a disclosure at the bottom of the letter was the unauthorized practice of law. I submit to you that in the affidavit, clear that Ms. Stage, in fact, did make that disclosure. She orally told all the persons with whom she worked at the various departments, the Board of Commissioners members. She also told outside counsel and outside consultants that A, I'm not admitted to practice law in Ohio. B, my role as general counsel is only that as a managing person of the department until such time as I am admitted to practice law, and I will not practice law in the state until such time as I am admitted. If there's a legal issue or a legal question to be handled, it will be handled either by one of the staff attorneys in the department or by one of the other attorneys in the agency who is in fact admitted to practice law in Ohio. Therefore, by those disclosures, the recipient of those correspondence were not misled by the mere use of the title general counsel. They knew that Ms. Stage was not admitted to practice law in Ohio. They knew her jurisdictional limitations, meaning the jurisdictions in which she was admitted to practice law.
Ms. Sabella, the board in its opinion, as you know, indicates the ways in which she was represented as general counsel, and one of them is to the general public, newspaper articles, awards, announcements referring to her as general counsel. All of those recipients of such information wouldn't all know of the conditions on her role, would they?
Well, Your Honor, I would submit that with respect to some of the articles that were published in the Plain Dealer and the information that was published in the YMCA flyer was done without prior knowledge and approval of Ms. Stage. It's clear in the YMCA matter that Ms. Griffin, the communications person at CMHA, may present the information over to the YMCA. Ms. Stage knew nothing about it.
But isn't that part of the problem of using that title at all, that some people see it and use it and they don't ask her what the restrictions are, and so they see general counsel and they reproduce it, general counsel. It means it has a technical definition for us, does it not? I mean, meaning?
It does have meaning, Your Honor. I would also submit that the Cleveland Free Times ran a series of articles, and those are in fact attached to the objections. They made it abundantly clear that Ms. Stage was not licensed to practice law in Ohio, even though she was in an agency where she was managing other lawyers. So, in fact, the public did have notice, they did have disclosure. And I would submit that the concern of the board is that there be disclosure to the people who see that title. And I believe that there was disclosure through the Freedom of Times articles, and there were disclosures to the persons who received the correspondence generated by the Stage's office.
Follow the board's recommendation, it would appear that the mere use of the title general counsel amounts to the unauthorized practice of law. I'd like to hear your comments on that.
That does appear to be the board's position. I would suggest that you read the cases that are cited by Mr. Silver for the proposition as to what is the unauthorized practice of law, you will see that not only was there a holding out, but that holding out was coupled with specific acts. There in fact was the giving of legal advice, there was the preparation of documents, there was appearing before a court or an agency, and that holding out coupled with the acts was in fact an unauthorized practice of law. That's distinguishable from this case because Ms. Sage did not advise her counsel the board of CMHA, she did not advise her counsel any of the department managers of CMHA, she did not prepare any documentation, she never appeared as counsel on behalf of CMHA in court or an agency. So with your use of the title without any other specific acts, I would suggest it's distinguishable from the cases, UPL cases, because there's not an act coupled with any use of the title.
I have that same question that Justice Resnick had. It bothered me how this even got to this stage, and because there is, as I can see the record, there is no direct showing any place where she appeared in court or signed pleadings or any of that. There's none of that, is there?
No, Your Honor.
All right, so does this mean, you know, we often see when a major corporation brings somebody in from New York to be the general counsel for Owens Corning, that the announcement is made that so-and-so is general counsel and maybe probably is not authorized to practice law in Ohio at that point. Did this get started over this disgruntled employee figuring out how to...
My understanding, Your Honor, is that, it's also my understanding that the Joint Arbitration Committee approved her originally. They approved her at the conclusion of the hearing, but their position remains unchanged.
The panel did.
And that the reason that the board did a sua sponte investigation hearing on this matter is based upon the receipt of some anonymous letters and some letters that were reportedly signed by Mary Virginia St. Romaine. The real Mary Virginia St. Romaine testified at the underlying hearing that she did not offer any of those documents. She further testified, excuse me, at page 56 of the hearing transcript, that she believed that the person who generated these letters to the Supreme Court, the Board of Commissioners, was a Brenda Howard, and that the reason that was generated is because Ms. St. Romaine believed that Ms. Howard believed that Ms. Howard was terminated because of something Ms. St. Romaine did or assisted in because of conversations Ms. St. Romaine had with Ms. Howard as Ms. Howard was working at the agency, the real Ms. St. Romaine classifies Ms. Howard as being someone who is a troubled person who created problems in the office, and she regularly had to speak with her concerning those problems. And I guess I would submit that someone who's had a long and distinguished career to have one disgruntled employee file allegations and to be precluded from being admitted to practice law in the state of Ohio is a very harsh penalty.
In your long experience that you've had with the disciplinary process, particularly with regard to the Cleveland Bar Association, have you ever seen an action like this on the general counsel classification? The reason I'm asking is there must be a letter someplace from general counsel of XYZ Corporation to a lawyer on the other side of a matter or an administrative matter maybe, assigned general counsel, originating in Ohio.
Yes. If I understand your question, Your Honor, the question to me is, have I seen general counsel for, in-house general counsel for a corporation who sent communications to someone?
Yes.
And the communication is generated in Ohio and not in Ohio?
Yes.
The answer is yes, Your Honor, I have seen that. As I say, one of the other issues that was raised by...
She didn't register. She didn't register as under the corporate rule.
Corporate.
Yeah, they do, of course, so that's why they can do that. I guess I wondered, yeah, she didn't do that here. I mean, I guess not, did she not qualify under the rule?
My understanding, Your Honor, is that she came here in the beginning of, I'm sorry, I can say 96, and now I'm not positive as I'm speaking that year, and she immediately got information and applied for admission without examination, believing, I guess, perhaps not obviously that the timeframe for that process would probably be 4 to 6 months, and that would be the timeframe under which she would be learning about the agency and gathering information and only be functioning in management capacity, and that in fact she would be, the application process would be completed, and that it would not be a large span of time. And she in fact wanted to be a limited practice law firm. She wanted to be an Ohio lawyer as opposed to just registering corporate and never applying for admission.
She came to the agency in January of 1996. When did this whole matter start?
Well, when the first letter sent by Ms. Howard?
By somebody.
My recollection is that the letters were not sent until May of last year, after the Joint Bar Admissions Committee had approved her, and the hearing was in April.
All right, that's close enough. Had she done anything between January of 96 and May of 97 to get herself into a position where she could properly practice in Ohio?
She had
filed the application.
The application for admission without
examination. That was my question. And when was that done? The middle of 1996.
Yes, Your Honor. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact date for you. I was looking to find out for the exact date. As I say, in Mr. Silver's brief, he raises an issue that there's a discrepancy between the testimony of the real Mary Virginia St. Romain and Betty Roberts Stage with respect to what occurred with Ms. Howard. And I would suggest that fair reading of page 56 of the hearing transcript, which is Ms. the real Mary Virginia St. Romain's testimony, she makes it clear that she, in fact, did assist in the initial interviewing of Brenda Howard. She, in fact, had numerous conversations with her over the period of time, and that in the mind of Mary Virginia St. Romain, she believed that Brenda Howard blamed her in some respect for Brenda Howard's termination. And I believe the one statement that Mr. Silver quotes in his brief that is attributed to Mary Virginia St. Romain is taken out of context. And when she states that I really didn't have anything to do with her, she was distinguishing her more personal relationships that she had with other members of the agency versus just an interaction in a more professional capacity with Ms. Brenda Howard.
What weight should we give to her letters? A separate letterhead from a separate office, I think, in Lakewood, maybe, in December of 96 and January of 97, to, I think, this court, with regard to the application process where she signs attorney at law.
The Lakewood address is her home residence. She does not have a legal practice from there. It's not advertised in any telephone book or any other journal which lawyers advertise as being lawyer's office. And I think it was something that she quickly generated from a computer, and it was something that she did perhaps without. And that...
And she is an attorney.
Yes, Your Honor, she is. But that it was clear at the time that she generated that correspondence that the court knew of her status because the matter of fact was pending before the court of application was pending before the issue came in. And that was an isolated instance. It was not something that was a continuing pattern. And there was no evidence at the hearing to show that there was a continuing pattern for using that letterhead for any other purpose. I would also like to suggest that the Board of Commissioners left open the possibility that if this court did not find that she should be admitted to practice law without examination, that the matter be remanded to the Board of Commissioners for further hearing to allow her to present additional evidence to prove that she in fact does have fitness. And we would respectfully request that if this court chooses not to admit her without examination at this time, time they remanded to the Board of Commissioners on character and fitness to allow us to present additional evidence to the Board. And thank you, I reserve my additional time.
Thank you, Ms. Sabella. Mr. Silver.
May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Jim Silver, and I'm here on behalf of the Board of Commissioners for Character and Fitness in the State of Ohio. The issue before the Board is whether or not Betty Robert Stage currently has required character and fitness to practice law in the state. As you know, after a panel hearing and full board hearing, the Board of Commissioners felt that she did not persuade him by clear and convincing evidence that she had that character and fitness as it's required under one of the Supreme Court rules of the governor of the bar.
Did the board, I don't know if the board does this, but and if you can indicate, did the board indicate what, in view of its recommendation, what it would take to sort of erase or mitigate what the board sees as a reason for her not to be admitted at this time?
I can only speculate, but I think it would require three things. One, on her personal letter, it had a disclaimer from the late Whitaker address, attorney of law, not licensed to practice in Ohio. Second, under the general counsel letterhead from CMHA, the same disclaimer, not licensed to practice in Ohio. And third, a little more forthrightness in the one particular question and answer I can recall from the hearing of the state was testifying. She was asked directly, are you able to fulfill all of your obligations as general counsel for CMHA, which includes giving advice to management? And her answer was yes. And she tried to qualify it. Well, the obvious answer is no, she can't. She can't give the advice that's required for that job. And once she did that, I think she raised the perception of the unauthorized practice of law. And she created that burden that she was not able to overcome. And she ended up having to argue a negative, which is really hard. So all these people that she's dealt with over the 2 years, there's no, none of them thought she was practicing law unauthorized in the state of Ohio.
Conversely, either way she answered that question, she was in trouble.
No, I don't believe so.
Well, she said, no, I can't do my duties, and she's drawing taxpayers' money. Then she's hired.
I think that's an issue with CMHA staff.
Well, but that's the problem. What she was doing, maybe what she meant is, yes, I can give them the general advice of an administrative lawyer, even administering or overseeing, I think, the six lawyers there. Maybe that was in her mind at the time. Well, I had the same question as the chief did. Does that mean if we send her back and say, put this disclaimer on your letterhead, put it on CMHA letterhead, resubmit your application, the board will approve it? Or is she forever tainted?
No, I don't think so. I think the board in its ruling did not put a time limit on which she had to wait to reapply, and it certainly didn't say you can never reapply. And I think the standard is and always has been your current character and fitness, and I think if she shows those things, she's got a major step towards getting licensed.
And her lack of current character and fitness is that she used the term general counsel and didn't put a disclaimer on her letterhead. That's her problem.
Well, it's twofold. One argument on the unauthorized practice of law, I would agree that I'm not sure there's anything in here that shows she did the unauthorized practice of law, but it lays the burden on her by clear and convincing evidence to show that she has not. Apparently, the board of commissioners didn't feel she. I think the second argument is much more interesting than that.
How exactly do you prove a negative by clear and convincing evidence?
I don't know.
Ask me.
Well, I suppose that's the problem she's created for herself, though, is it not? I mean, she used the term general counsel, and so she's created the problem of having to prove the negative. Is that correct or not?
That's my impression.
If she hadn't used the title or had put a qualification on it, we wouldn't be here. And so, because nobody would have thought she was acting as general counsel in the full sense of that term.
That's what I gather from reading the record.
Is holding yourself out as an attorney without ever doing anything else, is that the unauthorized practice of law?
Only on novel interpretation, I think. I can't find anything that supports that.
Doesn't the unauthorized practice of law contemplate some activity or actions on part of that person, such as filing documents, appearing in court, advising people of their rights, preparing wills, some activity in the practice of law to be guilty of the unauthorized practice of law? Doesn't it take something other than holding yourself out as an attorney?
I think that's correct in the Corby case and the Brown case. You do have to want to hold yourself out.
And are there activities involved here that would meet that requirement?
Other than her specific answer to that one question, that yes, you can meet all the requirements, which including giving advice, I don't see it.
Well, there is revised code 470507, which says false representation as an attorney. No person who is not regularly licensed to practice law, it doesn't say who is an attorney, shall hold himself out in any manner as an attorney at law, or shall represent himself either orally or in writing, directly or indirectly, as authorized to practice law. So we do have a statute that says you can't hold yourself out as an attorney if you're not, quote, regularly licensed to practice law in this state.
I agree, and I see that as the second argument. By holding herself out as the attorney in both the private and the CMHA letterhead, she's violating 470507, the authorized code, and the two disciplinary rules. And the disciplinary rules obviously apply to attorneys, but they have been the subject of reprimand and discipline for attorneys by the discipline. And I'm not sure, the question for this panel is, do you hold a different standard for the attorney than the disciplinary rules in Ohio, as opposed to attorneys that are here in Ohio that are not currently licensed? Is it okay to have that behavior prior to getting your license? I think that is probably the main issue for today, which is included in that violation of 4507, or 470507, subject to a fine, I think, up to $500, but just holding yourself out doesn't require any further action as an office practice of law. File documents, advice, or anything else. If it's misleading public or complete misconceptions, I think you violate those disciplinary rules. You violate that statute, and that is the crux of the issue before the court today. Do you want to apply those disciplinary rules to this stage with an attorney, although not in Ohio? And you do clearly apply those to attorneys that are licensed. Cases that stack out for the disciplining attorneys under the disciplinary rules are the, and I'm really not sure about the pronunciation, but the Impactqua and the Rizzo case out of the Diamond. Dealt with letterheads, dealt with misrepresenting people on violation of the disciplinary rules and were impacted. And going back to the Brown versus Disciplinary Council, the court has held that injunctive relief is available against people who do hold themselves out as attorneys when they are not licensed to practice in Ohio. So I think it is clear that this court does have some intent for applying those rules to non-attorneys in the state of Ohio. And I guess what is even as much troubling about this is just the letterhead itself, is that in the application that this stage had signed for admission to practice of law in Ohio without examination, there's the statement that she has read and studied the Supreme Court rules for the government of the Bar of Ohio, the Code of Professional Responsibilities, and the Code of Judicial Conduct, all as adopted by the Supreme Court of Ohio. If you follow Mrs. Stage's actions and her argument, it by using the term general counsel for certification, and that she was not in violation of the disciplinary rules of statute. Two, that maybe she didn't really read, study the code of professional responsibility. Or three, she read it and chose to ignore it. None of those possibilities lead to a conclusion that she was able to show by great evidence and evidence that she had shared sufficient terms of practice.
Thank you, Mr. Silver. Ms. Sabella, you saved a minute of your time.
Sabella, is this stage's application otherwise in order?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
Is her application otherwise in order other than this? Is everything in order?
Yes, Your Honor.
This is the only outstanding issue.
Yes, Your Honor. And with respect to the three issues identified by Mr. Silver, what the board would like to see in order to have it proven to them by clear and convincing evidence that she is fit and should be admitted, is the use of the personal letterhead, and I would submit that that was an isolated instance. And to the best of my knowledge, that letterhead is not being used anymore. That's a Lakewood address letterhead. With respect to the general counsel letterhead at CMHA, I neglected to tell you earlier, it is in footnote one of my objections, that in September of this year, she has in fact, in a number of months of caution, been using disclaimer or disclosure on the letterhead itself. I will also tell you that the title has been changed through the discretion of the CEO of the agency, and the title is now that of managing counsel. And perhaps in a result of this, an attempt to make the it more descriptive in terms of what her functions are. And with respect to the fulfillment of her job duties, I think Mr. Justice Douglas hit the nail right on the head. And if she said yes and then qualified it, she was subjecting herself to the board's interpretation that she was responding that she could do something that she shouldn't. If she said no, she and then saying, but however I do these things, she's subjecting herself to some potential problem for her employer. And the last thing I would submit to you is that she in fact did make a disclosure or disclaimer. It just was not in a particular form that the board determined after the fact that it should be. More respectfully request that you approve her, or if not, that you at least remand it to a hearing to allow us to present additional evidence. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. Counsel.